I know that the last few months have not been easy. I mean, our prayer time reflected that. We have lost loved ones. We've been bowled over by tragedy. We've been brought low by strokes and struggles and grief. It has been a rough start to 2024, which is why I'm glad to be able to share with you the passage of scripture that I get to share with you today, which is John 14 in verse 1. This truly is a word to live by, that can comfort us and carry us when we need it the most. So join me in John 14. We're going to spend our time in John 14, chapters 1, not chapters, verses 1 through 6. John 14, 1 through 6. Before we dig into this, I need to set the stage a little bit for you. As chapter 14 begins, Jesus and his disciples are sitting at the table. They're having the Last Supper still. Jesus decides in this moment to break some difficult news. You can see it in chapter 13, 33. Jesus says to his disciples, "My little children, I will not be with you much longer." The disciples had always known that. I mean, time and again, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man must go up to Jerusalem and be arrested and beaten, and he will die, and then on the third day he will rise again." But I think it's only now at the Last Supper that the disciples are starting to get that he really meant that. He really was going to do that, and that meant he was going to go away from them for some time. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes for a minute here. This is a guy that they had lived with for 3 years. They had learned from him on a daily basis. They had staked their lives on him. And now he is saying to them, "I'm not going to be with you much longer." I mean, there had been some trouble that came their way because they were Jesus' followers. But until then, until this moment, Jesus had always been. Jesus had always been there, and he dealt with these problems that came his way, their way. But now he was leaving, and who knew what that would mean for the disciples? It's a little bit, I think, like, remember the first, just before the first COVID lockdown. It was 4 years ago, next weekend, was the very first COVID weekend. I remember standing at the stove making dinner, thinking to myself, "What's gonna happen? How long is this gonna take? What is this gonna mean for us? Are our lives in danger here?" I think that's probably what the disciples were feeling that night at the Last Supper, because Jesus is gonna go. They're feeling this concern, this anxiety, this worry. And knowing that, Jesus sets them up to do something about it. And here's what he says, John 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also in me." In the face of utter catastrophe for the disciples, Jesus tells them, and Jesus tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled, but trust in God, trust in his Son." With this one very memorable phrase, I think that Jesus puts his finger on the issue at the heart of every trial, every trouble that comes our way. Whatever happens, whatever goes wrong, we can always choose how we're going to respond. We can respond with faith, or we can respond with fear. Right? We can look at the thing that is in front of us and say, "Ooh, this is way too big for God to handle." That's fear. Or we can look at it and say, "Oh, my God can handle this." That's faith. Jesus says here, choose faith. And how he says it, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not allow your heart to be troubled. He knows that as human beings, it's very easy for our hearts to get away from us. It's very natural, very normal for us as humans to fear. And Jesus knows this. He knows it himself from experience. Because like three chapters earlier, at the side of Lazarus's grave, it says that Jesus was troubled in his spirit. And it's this very word. Knowing that, Jesus says, listen, when things go wrong, your heart's going to kind of get away from it. I know it because of that experience. But when that happens, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let fear overcome your faith. Instead, trust God. Trust me. Trust in a God who is bigger than any trial that comes along. Trust in his son who knows exactly what it's like to face these catastrophic fears and who is capable of helping along the way. When things go wrong, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, but trust in God and trust in me. In itself, I think is valuable. But he goes on to explain why I think we can trust in God and in his son. That's verse 2. In my Father's house, Jesus says, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place. A few reasons here, I think. Jesus gives us that we can trust in him. One, he's gone to prepare an eternal place for us. And two, he's coming back to make sure we get there. He's preparing an eternal place for us. He's coming back to make sure we get there. Let me unpack those for you. First, Jesus is preparing a place for you. Verse 2, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I am going there to prepare a place. That means that no matter what happens in this life, you are eternally secure. Your well-being is set. The Father's house here is a way that Jesus describes eternity. And through the cross, Jesus went to prepare a place for you in the eternal presence of God. Now, I'm not sure that there are literally rooms with your name on it, like the Encanto house, that says, you know, Graham lives here, Sarah lives here. But I am absolutely sure that Jesus has prepared a place in eternity for each one of us who trust in him now. And that place is home. It's not just an eternal holding center, it's home. No place like home. Jesus has prepared an eternal home for you in the presence of God. How does that help us to trust him in the face of trials? It means that no matter what happens in this life, we have a home in the next. No matter the trial or illness or catastrophe in this life, we will not be homeless when the next one arrives. Our eternal place in the Father's presence is secure. So that's the first reason, to let not your heart be troubled, but instead trust in God and in his son. Jesus has gone to secure an eternal place for us. The second reason is this. Jesus is coming back to get us there. Right? Verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me so that you may also be where I am. In effect, Jesus says, listen, your eternal destiny is secure. I made sure of that. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you every step of the way. You know, this reminds me of 1 Peter 1:3. This is a passage that we looked at for Easter a couple of years ago. Peter wrote, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. I go to prepare a place for you, who through faith are being shielded by God's power until the coming of that salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I will come back and I will make sure you get there. He goes to prepare a place for us, and he returns to get us there. That's why we can trust him. When everything falls apart, he will be with us. He will be strengthening us and carrying us along, because there is nothing that can keep him from getting us to our eternal home in the Father's house. Jesus will be with us every step of the way. This leads to an interesting exchange between Jesus and Thomas, because Jesus says, you know the way where I'm going. But look at verse 5. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we possibly know the way? In retrospect, this is kind of cute. Thomas is looking for directions. He's thinking that he can get coordinates that he can plug into his GPS. And Jesus says, no, the way is not directions. The way is a person. And I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, this is Jesus saying to us, you can trust me because I will be with you every step of the way. I will be with you every step of the way because, in fact, I am the way. I am the only road that you walk that takes you to the Father. I am the one and only true way to life in the Father's house. And when you walk with me as I walk with you, you get fullness of life in this life and eternal life in the next. That's why we can trust Jesus when things go wrong. He has prepared a place for us in the Father's house, and he will come back and make sure we get there. That's why I want to leave you with this message. I'll put it like this. Let not your heart be troubled, but trust in the Lord on the way. Let not your heart be troubled, but trust in the Lord on the way. You know, I wish that I could tell you otherwise, but the reality of life is that sometimes things will happen that hurt, that stretch our faith and trouble our hearts. In those moments, we have a choice. Give in to fear and let our hearts run away with us, or trust in the life-giving Lord on the way. In this passage of scripture, Jesus says, do the second. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in me because I will be with you every step of the way. I know that there are twists and turns and thickets that you would really rather not go into. But know this, I am with you. And because I am the way, I will ultimately get you to that place of eternal security that I secured for you when I laid down my life for you on the cross. Now, does this mean that we won't feel or experience fear? No, I think that's a very natural experience. But when Jesus said, don't let your heart get away with you, let it not be troubled, I think he's saying, when you feel that fear, put a block in that says, no, I know that God can deal with this and keep it from running away from you. How do you do that? How do you stop a heart that's in free fall into fear? Max Lucado has a nice idea. He writes, what do we do with these worries? Take your anxieties to the cross, literally. Next time you're worried about your health or health, is it just me or is this time change really messing with my brain? Yeah. Next time you're worried about your health or house or finances or flights, take a mental trip up the hill to the cross. Spend a few minutes looking again at the pieces of the paschimus. Run your thumb over the tip of the spear. Balance a spike in the palm of your hand. Read the wooden sign written in your own language. And as you do, touch the dirt moist with the blood of God. Blood he bled for you. The spear he took for you. The nails he felt for you. The sign he left for you. He did all of this for you. Knowing that, knowing all that he did for you there, don't you think he'll look out for you here? Don't let your fears get away from you, but trust in the Lord along the way. When I was looking over my old sermon notes, I realized that not only are we 4 years removed from the first COVID lockdown, this was actually the passage that I spoke about the last Sunday we met together before we went into that first lockdown. And I think that that gives us a really interesting perspective from which to see this passage. 4 years ago, I stood right here and I said, let not your hearts be troubled, but trust in God and in his Son. Looking back over COVID, would you say that your trust was well placed in God? I think so. And so I stand here again and I say, no matter what comes next, let not your heart be troubled, but trust in the Lord on the way. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you for these words, very, very memorable words, and words that we need to tuck into our heart to keep with us all this time. Let's pray that you will help us to apply them, though. It's very easy for me to stand up here and say, let not your heart be troubled, but trust in the Lord and trust in the Son. But in the depth of pain and grief and sorrow, it can be much easier said than done. So Jesus, I pray, you are the way. Be near to those people who need this message in this moment. I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would calm hearts, would put a block in front of fear, so that it doesn't get away, so that it doesn't overwhelm faith. And I pray that you would remind each of us in our hearts and in our mind how faithful and trustworthy you really are. I pray that you would grow in us a deep conviction of trust and certainty and the security that we have in you. Lord, for those people who are really struggling right now, I just ask you to come and minister to them. Be gracious to them. Heal the hurting parts of their hearts. I pray that you would pull back the fear. Increase the faith. And strengthen our trust in you. We pray all these things in your precious and powerful name, Jesus. Amen.